Jeff.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books and TotallyIowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his daily show that he does down there that you can find in at KXEL, as well as with the Iowa Politics Report, which we will post a little bit later on today. Hi, Jeff.
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
If you apologize,
yes,
then you're a good person and forward thinking, correct?
Well, if you're guilty of the thing, I mean, if you screwed up, you know, you need to learn how to apologize for your own actions. Yes.
So how much of your daily program do you reserve for the apology section?
Oh, about a second hour. That's why we're 2 hours now. You know, it was overwhelming.
I thought it was the first 10 minutes. Oh, you do it on the back end of the show. Okay, well, now I understand. All right, that's all good.
One of the better parts of Saturday Night Live was the Fox News bit. They did the Fox and Friends in the morning, and they had to have their correction scroll and all the things they kept screwing up on. Yeah. I'm the first to admit, I think I don't have any problem saying it. If I screw up, I'm screw up. And I've admitted I was wrong numerous times.
You do. Yeah. You do. But, you know, I mean, and I joke about the frequency. But no, I mean, you see, this is the difference. And you and I have talked about it. We may not agree on 100% of things. We may not. I don't even know what the percentage is. But if you biff, you say you biff, then, mm-hmm. and that's how you keep credibility. It's the lack of accountability and the lack of being willing to be accountable, and you just have no credibility. I don't care what the topic is.
Which brings – that's a good segue into what I want to first address, which is this is – we're radio pros here.
Not my rodeo buddy.
Okay. So I, on Monday – started getting bombarded by rightos who are talking, why aren't you talking about the John Durham story? John Durham story. Why aren't you talking about the John Durham? This is the biggest crime that's ever happened. And I'm like, is it? So I'm going to read out of Charlie Savage's, who, by the way, himself has been savagely attacked because of this article. But I'm going to read two segments here. And forgive me if this is a little wrong. I want to read them both here. When John Durham, the Trump-era special counsel investigating the inquiry into Russia's 2016 election interference, filed a pretrial motion on Friday night, he slipped a few extra sentences that set off a fervor among right-wing outlets about purported spying on former President Donald Trump. But the entire narrative appeared to be mostly wrong or old news, the latest example of the challenge created by the barrage of similar conspiracy theories from Mr. Trump and his allies. Upon closer inspection, those narratives are often based on a misleading presentation of the facts or outright misinformation, aka lies. They also tend to involve obscure issues, so dissecting them requires asking readers to expend significant mental energy and time, raising the question of whether news outlets should even cover such claims if they're intent on, you know, reporting them fairly. He goes on later and says, the press refuses to even mention the major crime that took place, said Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump said in a statement on Monday, this in itself is a scandal. The fact that a story so big, so powerful, and so important for the future of our nation is getting zero coverage from lamestream all over the world. There are many problems with this. For one, much of it was not new. That we're talking about the story. This is getting back to Savage talking about the story that was broke. The New York Times had reported in October what Mr. Sussman had told the CIA about data suggesting Russian-made smartphones called Yoda phones had been connecting to networks at Trump Tower and the White House, among other places. The conservative media also skewered the fact that what the filing had actually said. For example, Mr. Durham's filing never used the word infiltrate. It never claimed that Mr. Joff's company was being paid by the Clinton campaign, two things which had become fact on right-wing media about this. Most important, contrary to the reporting, the filing never said the White House data that came under the scrutiny was from the Trump era. According to lawyers from David Dagon, a Georgia Institute of Technology data scientist who helped develop the Yoda analysis, so-called DNS logs, which are records of when computers or smartphones have prepared to communicate with other servers on the internet, the time that the Yoda phones were connected was during Obama's presidency. So there is no there there. I mean, this was a planted story by, clearly by Durham to kind of give Trump some red meat. But, you know, once you look at the story, as much as Republicans want to scream that this is the biggest story in the history of mankind, there's no there there.
Okay, slightly different take with regard to what you said at the end about Durham planting something. Okay, and this comes from, again, me as a defense attorney by trade.
Yes.
The prosecution in documents always, and what's Durham's role here? His role is as a prosecutor. Okay. They always assert items and call them facts. Because if they did not assert them as facts, there is no indictment, there are no charges. So, for example, a prosecutor might say, the state of Minnesota alleges that Matt McNeil on this date did this, and in so doing, he did this, this, and this. Now, Matt McNeil may look at that and say, nuh-uh, the technical legal phrase, nuh-uh, but the prosecutor asserts them as a factual set, or they call it a statement of facts, okay? To my understanding, all Durham did was put in a pleading a statement of facts that in the law you understand are assertions. Now, a prosecutor is not supposed to make assertions without some fundamental foundation for it. Evidence, hello, right? Mm-hmm. But that's for the jury to decide later. So
you're
to
fair.
My knowledge,
okay.
All I'm saying is this. Everybody take a chill, okay? Because obviously the folks on the right said, see, vindication. All it is an assertion in a pleading.
Now,
and it's those same Republicans who, when there's a pleading against their guy, says that it's manipulated facts. You cannot have that both ways.
But Savage is calm. Now, you're right to call me out on one thing. Durham might not have alluded to this in the filing for the way it came. But Savage's own reporting on this shows he didn't say any of this. He never said the Clinton campaign was paid. I mean, the story is now a lawyer that was working for the Clinton campaign was spying on the Trump White House. One, mm-hmm. that Durham never said that the Clinton campaign was involved. Two, there was no spying. He never he said infiltrate or anything like that. Three, we already knew about the Yoda phones. And then the most important part, the little bit of a misinterpretation is the data to here isn't even the Trump administration. It was the Obama administration. I think the right wing would have a field day with the idea of Hillary Clinton spying on Obama, but there's no there there. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and granted that Durham is not necessarily saying any of this in his statements,
but
the right wing media has clearly made up a story off of this that is saying definitives that are just not true. And once again, there is no story here outside of a minor few words from Durham in a note that didn't really imply anything of what's being reported.
And that's the whole point. The point is the prosecutor put something in a pleading, period. That's it. Okay. You could say, well, Mr. Durham, where's your evidence? And his response would be, I'll see you in court. I mean, because he doesn't have to justify what he puts in the pleading until court. And so these people who have seized on this little bit, here's another distinction that I'll make. Let's say, for example, again, it's the state versus Matt McNeil. Matt McNeil is found not guilty. That's not the same as being innocent. That's not the same as complete vindication.
Mm-hmm.
You were found not guilty. That doesn't mean that there wasn't something. It means that those particular charges. So in other words, they're not synonymous terms. So you cannot just say someone in a criminal pleading put certain things that they call statements of fact, because that's the term of art that's used, and you can't then say, see, I've been completely vindicated. There is no logical nexus or connection.
Well,
whatsoever.
Similar to the Potter trial they had up here, the shooting of Dante Wright. I mean, she was found guilty, but if she was found to be innocent because it was just determined to be an accident, doesn't mean Dante Wright's not dead. Doesn't mean that there wasn't an exactly. So your point.
I'm going to interrupt you because you misspoke by accident. She was found guilty.
Yeah.
She never would have been found innocent. See, the term of art,
yes.
And that's why we fall into it, right? The term of art, and I didn't mean to be a jerk about it, but that's the fundamental point. If she had been found not guilty, the individual still dead. Absolutely. It also doesn't mean that she was innocent. Mm-hmm. It just meant that there would not have been. So again, you have people for their own gain taking terms of art in legal documents and twisting them. And again, to my earlier point, when it's a quote-unquote Democrat prosecutor and they're putting these against Republicans, then it's like, well, they're lying throughout all these documents. Same process. You can't have credibility. Hello, now we're back to the earlier conversation. You can't have credibility if you spin it one way when it's to your advantage and spin it the other way when it's not.
Okay, and so, but once again, Durham is not saying any of this. This is a completely fabricated story, which brings up the next point I want to bring up about this whole thing. The Republican Party has learned from Trump. They really have. Trump, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't know if this actually did happen, but like he insults World War I veterans, and to get the media off that, he goes out there, drops trowel, and moons the entire audience saying, hey, he mooned him from the front. He was always good at making something far more outrageous happen to take his unacceptable behavior off the front page. He was very good.
It's deflection.
Yes.
And I want to hear your Trump impression of what he would say as he drops trowel.
It looks like a full moon tonight. Ooh.
Thank you. All right. I'm good. That's all I needed for the day.
Hey, Melania, I don't need to wear glasses to stare at this object. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. God, jeez. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Always one too far.
All right.
Always one too far.
The Republican Party, I mean, let's face it, when it comes to Trump, which they have clearly become betrothed to him at this point. Trump is flushing documents down the toilet. He's eating some of them. The allegations are coming on out here. His accounting firm has basically said we can't trust any of the numbers that are coming from his own kids now. There was that ruling that comes out. Now they can be held accountable for misusing of funds. There's investigations heading on in. All over the place. It is closing in on him. Of course, January 6th, they're getting, you know, those teeth are getting sharper and sharper at this point. This is a way for them. When you look at this whole Durham story, it's a manufactured story, probably by the Republican Party, probably by Republican operatives, fed to right-wing media. Because what was the narrative that the right-wing media went with? Not so much the fake story they made up, but why is no one else covering this? Well, because everyone else saw this was a joke and there wasn't anything there. They were trying desperately to get the bad news about Trump off the front page. I don't think it succeeded this time because, like I said, there has to be some there.
Well, again, it's sort of like you kill your parents and then want sympathy because you're an orphan. You know, you create a story and then you're complaining because nobody bought, nobody bet, you know, when you toss the line into the lake. I mean, it's at the very least, it was premature. We don't know what evidence actually comes out. And so what did the defendant do? Filed an objection to the statement of facts.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, it's called a process. This is what you're going to have. Now, the one thing I would tell you is, well, I'll just ask you first.
Yeah.
Do you think Hillary Clinton was right to even issue a statement?
I mean, it's like when Republicans say, "I better do what the Republicans," or Democrats say, "I better do what the Republicans say, or else they'll be mean to me." They're going to be mean to you anyway. So you know, just ignore them and go do what you want to do. If I was to make an argument, I think she released that statement for Fox News specifically, not OAN or Newsmax or any of the other troll factories, but for Fox News specifically because I think she does kind of still look – and some of the Democrats, I don't know if this is right or wrong, still look at Fox News as a bit of a legit news outlet. But I think that was why she did, was she was, you know, kind of still considering them, I'm going to release this mainly for you, which they promptly ignored.
Well, she cited them. In it. You know, she actually mentioned Trump and Fox News creating this. And, you know, and I'm just like, is that really helpful? Because, again, what will you do if you're on the right? You'd say, oh, see, we got under her skin. Okay, great. I mean, it's such a sideshow.
Well,
and that's the problem with it, because if anything that Durham put in statement of facts in that pleading comes to pass, it can't possibly measure up to this the histrionics that we've heard since. And so it's really kind of defeating their own purpose, is it not?
It's to a point, though. It's they got the message out to the people they wanted to get it to. It's like when when they were when the Border Patrol agents were whipping the migrants on the border, and I had Republicans say to me, "Well, there's no one's whipping anyone," and I said, I posted the video showing the guys whipping them, and they're like, "Well, that's a bridle, that's not a whip." I'm like, "Oh, for God's sakes, this is and so am I supposed to say you were bridling them? Is that what it is? Well, it's not fair to call it whipping." And it's just, it's like, you know, the people on the right that want this to be true, it's Hillary's emails, all that stuff, all over, lock her up. That's all it is. And then they feel as if they're the victims because no one else is covering it. So, yeah, it's kind of pathetic. And it really is kind of pathetic. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come on back here, I want to talk about your legal thoughts on the alternate delegates. How much trouble are these guys really in? 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Well, two things running quick. Democrat of the day is going to be Jason Isaacson, senator from District 42. We'll have him. It sounds like he's, after redistricting, he's now going to have to face off against Senator Marty. So we'll have to talk about that. Also, the AM 950 Wordle, three letters of the day, OXS. OXS. Get your words in by calling Patrick over at 952-946-6205 or making a post up on the live streams at AM 950 and Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show, both of those on Facebook. Jeff Stein joining us, talking politics. So, Jeff, there is an interesting turn here. Now, obviously, they're still going after all the guys that stormed the Capitol, and they clearly are building up a lot of information about – you know, Trump, and especially the relationship with some of these, either the campaign or the administration's relationship with some of these, you know, less than stellar groups that were there on 1-6. But one of the things that's been really interesting in the last week is how the 1-6 Commission has really zoomed on these alternate electors that basically presented themselves as duly elected, elected officials, or duly appropriated electors. I guess that would be the right term. That with official letterhead, state letterhead saying they were supposed to be here. And the reality is just because they used the letterhead, they presented themselves the way they did, it sounds like they're in a heap of legal trouble. I mean, am I right on that? I mean, are these people really looking at the fact that, okay, no, you can't do this on your own? You just can't have some guy in Des Moines say, oh, well, I don't agree with the electors for Iowa. I'm just going to send my own electors over and do it on official letterhead. And with official channels, because I think, didn't they all submit these electors to the National Archives or something like that?
Well, what they're doing is they're saying they're the alternate electors. And so had the state vote gone a different way, they are the slate. And so, you know, you're not impersonating an official because of the fact that, you know, you're the slate that would have served. And if it's overturned, then you're in line. I mean,
but if they presented themselves, okay, so if their state went for Joe Biden, well, then the electors are set. At that point, if they presented themselves as the official electors in any capacity, which they did, that sounds like that's where they're getting into their legal problem, is that it's a little niche. I'm going to be the first to say, yeah, you put it on official letterhead. You submitted it through official channels. But you basically knew at that point you weren't the official electors. You were hoping you would be allowed to be the electors, but you presented yourself falsely with legal precedent. And I think that's where they're in trouble.
It's premature display of credentials.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're doing it. Well, what's your purpose for doing it? Is your purpose for doing it to confuse those who are accepting credentials, so that you can then cause mayhem, if that's your goal? See, this is where intent makes a difference. If it's simply, I'm just sitting here waiting in case I get called, that's one thing. If you show up and assert that you are the rightful owner of this privilege, and you're doing it to subvert others, you're doing it that allows you then, that does make it that you are impersonating, or it's identity theft in that respect. Okay, you're claiming that you're with authority. You're not an elected official, but it's the same sort of thing. You know, sitting there saying, no, I am the governor. Just look at this piece of paper. You know, yeah, I mean, that's where it goes a little far. Yeah.
Well, okay, and here's the problem. It's like I think, okay, I'll give you some leeway. Say it was just Arizona. It was a bunch of guys that, you know, we decided we got a little out of control. Jumped the gun. I think they'd let it go. Here's where they run into the real big problem is it sounds like this 1-6 committee has got actual evidence that there was a coordination to do this through Giuliani, other lawyers with the campaign. The wording is all the same, basically, in all these documents. So clearly someone was coordinating this. And as you said, if there was intent, which then, I mean, clearly they might just be going after the delegates to the fraud delegates to basically say, who told you to do this? Because that's the person we really want. But the reality is, as you said, the intent becomes clear once you realize this might have been coordinated at the top level.
There would be no problem with coordination at any level and having people standing in the wings. Okay? The taking it the next step and presenting credentials, asserting that you have authority you don't have. That's the trick. And so, again, what did those coordinating it actually say? Did they actually say, you need to go there, you need to, you know, get in ahead of the other guys, give them an elbow in line? And again, what's the point of even going there other than a show?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, none of it makes a lot of sense. And here's the thing with a lot of the coordination, I know we're up against it. Here's the thing with a lot of the coordination. It's sort of like, wouldn't it be cool if we got all these people together and then for what, a photo op? I mean, there was no ultimate purpose to be had, and that has nothing to do with the rest of the stuff on 1-6. What's the point of having these people stand there in front of a locked door?
Well, then how many people have they arrested on mail fraud? Let's remember that one, too. Jeff Stein, once again, I'll post the Iowa Politics Report later. Hour 2 is coming up next.